This program is sponsored by North Valley Church of Christ.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad.
Ring it out.
Ring it out, ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true.
Ring it out.
Ring it out, ring it out, ring it out,
ring out.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Redeeming the Time. I'm your host, Chris Macy, and I am the minister here with the North Valley Church of Christ. Okay, well, we're going to start a series for the radio program on 2 Timothy. We'll be doing an introduction to the letter here in just a moment. I am preaching this on Sunday nights here at North Valley. Now, I'm not preaching every Sunday night now. Theo Jones does two of the Sunday evenings each Sunday. So in the next two Sundays, he's got that, then I'll get to preach. And so I don't get to preach Sunday night except for twice a month now. And so you'll be way ahead of what we're doing here. However, I am going to be doing this not as in-depth as I am on Sunday nights. I have more time than I do here on the radio program. I think I went about 35 or 40 minutes this past Sunday night, but I'm only going to have 27 minutes here, and that's not counting the time of the introduction and then closing things out. And I do want to encourage you to think about summer camp this year. We have a summer camp up at Copper Basin Bible Camp. Go to www.cbbc.life, L-I-F-E, or go to copperbasinbiblecamp.org, and you can find out about the camp this year. And this year we have a free cup camp. It's a two-day type ordeal with children. We do require a parent to be up there, but it's free. We're not charging for the kids or one parent to be up there. This is in honor of Ethan Roberts, who has dedicated his life to it. He passed away recently. And we want to encourage you to take a look at that. But we're not going to dive too much into that either, because I want to use my time to do an introduction to 2 Timothy. I'm also going to be starting a class on Zechariah. That's a great letter. We'll be doing that for the Bible class starting this Sunday. And I think I'm going to do recordings for that as well, and I'll be posting those online. Probably won't use them on the radio program itself, but I might. But I am going to be expanding my online audio recordings through my X account, formerly Twitter, and you may be wanting to be listening and waiting for that. 2 Timothy, we want to begin with a few basic facts about the letters. We always want to do this for an introduction. Now, as far as the author goes, we know who the author of 2 Timothy is. It's Paul. It says there in the first verse, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. So we know he is the author. Some have a debate about that, but there's nothing to debate. If you're a Christian, you know. The recipients, that's going to be Timothy, obviously. He is writing to his son in the faith, but also the church in Ephesus at the very end of 2 Timothy, the last verse, where he says, the grace be with you and with your spirit. The you and your there are in the plural, not a singular person, but multiple people. I think he's writing and intending for this to be read to the whole congregation. Now, we want to ask a question, why is Timothy there in Ephesus? If you haven't read or studied 1 Timothy recently, that's where you find out. Over in 1 Timothy, get my Bible turned over there. Got to turn these pages. They're so thin. Oh, come on. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look there at verse 3. As I urged you, Paul writes, upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. So that's why he's there, so that he may teach certain individuals that are teaching things that are not accurate to the Word of God, for them to stop doing that. And so the issues with the church in Ephesus, you know, what Timothy is facing in his ministry, we learn quite a bit about that in 1 Timothy. I encourage you to go back, read that as we work through this series. And so we want to kind of look a little bit at what the circumstances are of this letter. Paul probably wrote his first letter, our first Timothy, sometime between his two Roman imprisonments. He had seen Timothy after being released the first time. He left him there in Ephesus to carry on the work, while Paul went to Macedonia, Corinth, and more than likely out over there to Spain as well. But at some point, Paul was rearrested, and he's now in prison again when he writes this second letter. It's going to be his last letter, at least the last known letter that he writes. Paul's going to die during this imprisonment at the hand of Nero, and it's going to happen around the year 67 AD. So he's getting this letter written for Timothy and for the church there in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a prominent city within the Roman Empire. It's the fourth prominent city. It probably has around 250,000 people living there at that time. The church had been strong when Paul was there. Remember, in the book of Acts, he taught there for almost 3 years. But now, there are some false teachers. They've moved in. They're causing trouble. Paul wanted Timothy to take care of that. But it's getting worse. Some rich folks who are there also throwing their weight around. And there are a number of disturbances to the peace of the congregation. We read about these things in 1 Timothy. And apparently, these things are either still there or they're getting worse, probably getting worse. So Paul wanted Timothy there because he has confidence in the young man. But Timothy is experiencing difficulty in holding the work together. And man, what a tough work that's got to be. So as we begin to read and listen to what Paul is writing to Timothy, I want us to try and put ourselves back into the circumstances to gain insight into the Apostle Paul's instruction to this young man. And we can glean some things from the contents of 2 Timothy to understand why he's writing the letter and what's going on. And one of the things you want to do, or at least what I do, is I look for the tone of the letter. So I may read through a letter 2, 3, 4, 5 times. I read up my notes and maybe some commentaries, but reading through the letter is very helpful. One of the things we do know is, or note, is that there's a distance separating Paul and Timothy. Paul's in prison, as we just mentioned, in Rome. Timothy's there in Ephesus, or far away. We do know at this point that there's a close relationship between Paul and the younger, inexperienced preacher. Paul refers to him as a son, and he states that he longs to see him. There in chapter 1, verse 2 of 2 Timothy, "To Timothy, my beloved son." Now, it's not his literal son. This is a son in Christ, in the faith. And he says there in verse 4, he longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. So he misses this young man. And again, in chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And 1 Timothy is where he says that you're his son in the faith. Paul commissioned Timothy to this work there in verse 6. "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." This is not the miraculous gift. We'll look at that later on, not in this lesson, but in a future lesson. But he's talking about his gift of preaching and teaching and bringing the word of God to the minds and hearts of the people. He wants to stir him back in that remembrance. From verse 5, we know that Paul knows his family well, his mother and his grandmother. Paul knows the personality of Timothy. And if he knows his personality, he knows how Timothy is going to react to situations by the experiences they have shared. As Paul brought Timothy with him through Asia and through Acacia and Macedonia. You know, there's only a few people. I take that back. There's only one person who can talk to me the way Paul talks to Timothy. That would be Guy Orbison Jr. He's my teacher. He's my Paul. But Paul here has a great confidence in Timothy. He told the church over in Philippi that there was no one else of kindred spirit like Timothy. That's Philippians 2:20. When you know somebody as well as Paul knows Timothy, it's almost as if you can get into their minds. Paul knows what's going on in the mind of Timothy as he's responding to the issues there in Ephesus. And so, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 9, Paul writes, make every effort to come to me soon. And then verse 21, same chapter, make every effort to come before winter. Man. So Paul is wanting him there soon. Now, Paul can't get to Timothy, so Timothy has to come to Paul, and you can sense the urgency in Paul's tone. Get here as soon as you can. And make sure when you come, don't come during winter, because especially back then, it's rough to travel in the winter. Come before then. The reason why Paul knows his time is limited. His end is coming. He wants to be able to talk and encourage Timothy face to face. In fact, as we're going to see, Timothy needs a break. He needs to come away, take a break, get recharged, and get back into the work. And this is a great way to do that. One of the ways I used to do that would be going to the workshop in the Word in Durango or going to Tackling the Text at Copper Basin Bible Camp. Unfortunately, neither one of those two things are going on. I don't really have anything that gives me that recharge. And man, I need it, but I need to find something. Doing this radio program, though, helps. I still call Guy Orbison, and that helps. It strengthens me. We all need that Paul that we can turn and look to for encouragement. Now, we only have the words of Paul. We don't have the words of Timothy here, so we have to infer what's happening from what Paul addresses. It's like, you know, you're sitting in a room and listening to a phone conversation of somebody else, and all you're getting is one side of the conversation. But you can glean a few things of what's happening in that phone conversation. If you're listening to somebody's phone call and you hear them saying stuff like, man, that's great to hear. Oh, yeah, you're doing good. That's exactly what I would do. Very good. Yes, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah. Boy, that's good. I like to hear that. Yeah. Well, here, let me give you some advice on that. You're hearing that sounds very positive, and it sounds like things are going well. But if you're listening to that phone conversation and all you hear is something like this, it changes everything. Or you hear somebody saying, uh-huh. Okay, well, I know, that's tough. I've been through that. You know I've been through that. You've seen it. You can do this. Well, you got to do something about that. You can't just let that go. No, don't do that. The Lord is with you. You need to be strong and stand up, okay? Difficult times are inevitable, but you can do this. Suffer hardship with me. Endure this. Don't forget about the gifts God's given you. Preach the word. You need to do this in season, out of season. So you hear it from that, like that, you can tell something's wrong, right? And so I want to give you, talk about some implications of Timothy's situation. There's three of them that we find, and I want us to, and there's several verses. I'll read through those so you can see what I'm talking about. But it's suffering and hardship. I read about that in this letter. Hang in there, Timothy, and get back to the work of preaching. And when you read through this, you're left with the idea that, man, Timothy is struggling. He's having a hard time here. So the first section I want us to think about is suffering and hardship. So chapter 1, verse 8, Paul wrote, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like he's saying, don't back off out of shame, right? Join me, Timothy, in the suffering. Chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, what kind of hardship? Is he talking about financial or the nature of the work? Maybe it's political pressures, church politics? Whatever it might be, you're going to have to suffer through some of these things in order to stay at it and keep doing the work. As we were saying a second ago, chapter 3, verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. They're inevitable. And then chapter 4, verse 5, but you, Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Endure hardship. In several passages, Paul uses himself as an example of a preacher who suffered in order to get the work done. Now, we're going through this, but, you know, we look at our day and age. Are we going through a hardship? Man, we are. If you're a Christian, if you're a preacher, If you're an elder or a Bible teacher, Bible class teacher, and you're trying to help people to know the truth, you are feeling pressure to conform to the way of the world. Last week, we were talking about the head coverings in 1 Corinthians 11 that the women wore and the men should not be covering their head. And pretty much it's about, if you didn't hear it, you should go listen to that, but it's about recognizing and knowing the distinctions between men and women. And there is pressure to conform to the idea that men can be women and women can be men and transgenderism and all that. That is false teaching. And man, what I cannot believe the kind of pushback the church is getting about conforming to that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Think about Paul and Timothy. Suffer hardship with me. You can do this. I know it's going to be hard. You may suffer hardship in finances. Maybe you lose funds. Maybe people will leave the church because they want you to accept what their child is doing or what they're trying to do to their child. Don't do it. Difficult times are inevitable. Endure the hardship. Don't back out of shame, folks. This is part of being a Christian, putting up with things like this. So hang in there and buck up. That's the next section for 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 1, back over there, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So don't be timid. God gives us power. Now, I'm not saying miraculous power. What I'm talking about is the Word of God. This is the power. It is able to convict people. It gives them the opportunity of making a choice to salvation, but they have to make a choice. It's up to you and me to get this information into the minds and hearts of the people. Suffer hardship with me. Hang in there. For hanging in there, chapter 2, verse 1 again. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Get a grip and be strong. Chapter 2, verses 11 to 13 can be seen as warnings against quitting. Look at that. Or let me read that for you. I know you're probably driving, so you can't look. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Don't quit. And you're going to be encouraged to. From the outside, even from internally from you, thinking, man, why am I putting up with this? What's the point? Why am I going through it? Don't quit. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. So suffer hardship. Hang in there and buck up. Number 3, get back to the work of preaching and teaching. Chapter 1, verse 6 again. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Rekindle the gift. The fire is going out in Timothy's heart, the zeal. And that happens to all of us, especially at hard times. We begin to wonder, am I making a difference? Doesn't feel like it. Look at this. Everyone hates me. Well, everyone hated Jesus too. In fact, all his disciples abandoned him when he needed them the most, didn't they? But even then, after his resurrection, before he even saw them, and he talked to the women at the tomb, he told them, go and tell the brethren, my brethren, to meet me in Galilee, like he had predicted in Matthew chapter 26. He called them brethren, those who had abandoned him. He didn't give up on them. We shouldn't give up either. Keep on keeping on. The Lord's in control. Don't worry about tomorrow because today has enough trouble of its own. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We're going to suffer hardship. We need to hang in there, and we need to get back to the work. Chapter 1, verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Retain the standard, the pattern. Don't change it. Don't get into these disputes that are worthless or useless. Stick to the Word of God. Don't let them make you think that maybe it's cultural and this doesn't apply to us. You can know. God didn't write this so that we would be confused, but so that we may be armed with the truth. Because if you know the truth, That truth will set you free. So we need to make sure we hold on to that truth. And that requires us to study daily in and out, in season and out of season, as well as preaching and teaching it. Chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. That's the opposite of offering a mediocre effort. And so what I mean by that is don't just say, you know, what's the point? You're starting to give up, so you're not trying as hard. You barely study. You barely prepare because you don't feel like it's worth it anymore. When you feel like it's not worth it, you're not going to try hard. When you feel like it's not worth it, you're not going to put forth an effort. So we need to remind ourselves of the mission that we have, of what we're trying to do. But there's so many distractions, right? And those distractions cause us to give up because we're thinking of so many things. We're not focused on what's more important. Remember Mary and Martha, where they were at Lazarus' house, and Mary was sitting there at the feet of Jesus listening, and Martha was busy going about trying to get things ready. She comes in and says to Jesus, "Make Mary come and help me." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are so busy about so many things, but Mary has chosen the good things." In other words, you should be sitting down too. What you're doing is good, but the best thing is to sit and listen to what I've got to say. Don't get distracted. And that is the next thing here on Get Back to the Work. Get rid of the distractions. Chapter 2, verse 22. Now, he's talking to Timothy, remember. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That, get rid of the distractions that are hindering us or taking us from our work, whether that be preaching, teaching, leading, encouraging, whatever it might be. We need to keep at it for our sakes and for theirs. And chapter 3, verse 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. No matter how tough it gets, continue in what you've learned and keep on learning. Don't give up. Get back to the work. Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Here's the charge in the presence of the heavenly witnesses to preach for Timothy. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Keep on keeping on. We need this. Timothy needed this because I'm convinced he was thinking, man, what in the world am I doing? I can't do this. I'm not Paul. He's not here. He's in prison. I'm the only one. It's like Elijah, right? Remember Elijah when things were going so well, at least it looked like it. And then he gets that letter from Jezebel that saying that this day tomorrow, you'll be dead man too. And he runs away scared. And he tells the Lord at Mount Hebron in that cave, I'm the only one left. But he knew he wasn't. And God even reminded him. But he was tired. He was beaten down and he needed a break. And Timothy needs a break. And Paul is going to give that to him. He said, come to me. Before winter, get here before it's too late. Come to me. And he's encouraging him with this letter as well as the Ephesians. Also chapter 4, verse 5, the last one here for the getting back to the work of preaching for Timothy. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. He is not writing to a brand new minister. He is young, but Timothy has been at the work for a while. He has been trained under the Apostle Paul, and he is struggling. We will struggle too. We will struggle too. And there are hardships out there right now. There's a lot of pressures upon the teachers and preachers and elders and leadership. And it's directed mainly by Satan with the world coming against us to make us feel alone, to make us feel isolated, to make us feel like we're failing. You're not failing. It doesn't matter how many numbers you have. It doesn't matter what happens. If you're preaching and teaching the truth, God is with you, and you've already won. Just keep on keeping on for the Lord. And when we look at this passage, and we're confronted by this kind of language, we are right, I think, in concluding that Timothy has it tough over there in Ephesus. And he is about, I think, to throw in the towel, maybe. Since the first letter, things have not improved in Timothy's circumstances or in the church in Ephesus. If anything, things have deteriorated. Man, do you feel that way in this world? Things are deteriorating for the church. That is no doubt about that. But that does not mean the church is weak. It does not mean that you and I are weak. Now, we are human. We falter. We struggle. But we need to be reminded of the truth. And I hope these radio programs will help you. That's why I want to encourage you. Don't give up. Remember Timothy. Remember Paul. Remember the Lord Christ. When everyone abandoned him, there when he needed them the most, he was all alone. And then God turned his back on him, forsook him on the cross because he took on the sin of the world. But he did the work anyway, even though he knew that was coming. Because he knew that God was in control and he knew that the outcome was the best for you and me. We need to keep on keeping on for the Lord. He did. We need to do the same thing. And if we do, there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us in heaven. I love you. I pray for you. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. You can do this. We need you to keep on preaching and teaching. Amen. Thank you, and have a good day.
Ring it out.
Ring it out. Ring it out.
This program was sponsored by North Valley Church of Christ. To hear this program again, go to FamilyValuesRadio1010.com and click on the podcast page and find this program and many others right there on FamilyValuesRadio1010.com.